Tim Reed and Tom Dreesen were a duo when most of America was divided. They became a comedy team in Chicago in the late 1960s, a black man and a white man, making jokes at a time of riots, bloodletting, and bruised feelings in America. Here's a routine in which Tom asked Tim for lessons in how to act black.
I tell you, well, let's see you walk like a brother. Yeah, let's walk.
Walk like a brother?
Walk like a black man.
Watch me.
My man.
Zippity-doo-dah.
Tim and Tom toured the country, staying popular in Chicago, drawing laughs in New York, New Orleans, and many other places. But their failure to burst through to the top rungs of comedy often frustrated their working relationship. Each had to go on to very successful solo careers. Tom Dreesen became one of America's premier stand-up comics, longtime opening act for Frank Sinatra. And Tim Reed became an actor and producer who created the honored series Frank's Place, which is probably still recognized almost everywhere in the world today as Venus Flytrap on WKRP in Cincinnati. They've written a book with our old friend Ron Rappaport about their breakthrough on stage and in the life of this country. It's called Tim and Tom, an American Comedy in Black and White. Tim Reed and Tom Dreesen join us from Chicago. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Scott. It's a
Thank
pleasure.
You, Scott.
You know, we usually ask newlyweds this question, but let's try it on you. How did you meet?
Well, it was on ehharmony.com. We actually met in Harvey, Illinois. Tim had graduated from Norfolk State College. E.I. DuPont recruited him into Chicago as a marketing rep. He joined the JCs. We worked together on a drug education program. It became very successful, teaching elementary school children the ills of drug abuse through humor. And one day a little girl said, "You guys are funny. You ought to become a comedy team."
We're going to change.
We're going to change now. You got a French Riviera apartment.
Oh, yeah?
In Harlem, overlooking the Apollo Theater. One of them high-rise units. Two floors.
I'm way up there.
One day you come outside your high rise, you open the door, you see the whole neighborhood's been integrated by the National Guard.
It's a riot.
Riot?
That's right.
I can't go down there.
What do you mean?
I've got a heart murmur. My heart keeps murmuring. Don't go down there, Whitey.
Tell me about playing a polka club, because that's not a place that you would often turn up, Mr. Reed.
No,
it?
Not on the northwest side of Chicago at that time. When Tom told me where we were appearing that night, I looked at him like he was crazy.
So on the way down there, I said, "Tim, here's what we do. We tell him we're sorry we're a little bit late, but we stopped on the south side for soul food." And then I wrote these words down, and Tim memorized them. Tim went up on stage, and he said, "I'm sorry we're late. We stopped on the south side for soul food." And all those Polish people looked at him. He said, "Chinina, gołąbki, kabasa, pierogi." And then they broke into huge laughter. And then we had him in the palm of our hands.
Yes, indeed.
Were you aware of doing something important, or were you just trying to make people laugh?
You had to be aware that when you're a black and white man and you walk out on stage, that it's certainly dangerous and it's certainly a bit unusual. The country was going through tremendous chaos. In addition to race problems, the Vietnam demonstrations and protests. So when we walked out there, there was always that 20, 30 seconds of people sitting there going, "Oh my God, what's going to happen?" And we always, no matter whether we were doing racial or non-racial material, we always had to be in context of the audience, and it was always racial because of the times. Today, the funniest black and white comedy team is, of course, Obama and McCain, but back then, we were the only ones.
It's funny, it weighs an illustrative set piece of that. You've got an anecdote in your book where you demonstrate that funny lines are not interchangeable. Context depends on who says them and the color of
yes.
someone. Yeah.
We were working a club in Detroit, tough neighborhood, black club. Tom said, "Why don't we walk out there next time if somebody heckles us," because we got heckled a lot. He said, "I'll step up and say, hey, don't bother him. He's mine. You know how hard they are to train." And I said, "No, Tom, you can't do that. That's going to be offensive." And we govern each other that way. So that night we went before this crowd, all black audience, and some black guy in the back stood up and started heckling Tom. And I said, "Hold up, brother. Get your own. He's mine. You know how hard they are to train." And the audience went crazy.
Every comic gets hecklers. But the heckling that you two gentlemen faced down was sometimes more serious.
Life-threatening. Back then, comedy was a blood sport, and we shared a lot of blood in certain places. One night, one of the first times we had a performance, I guess, in a paying gig.
Yeah, in Chicago Heights, Illinois, it was our fourth time ever on stage, and a guy put a lit cigarette out in Tim's face and then proceeded to try to beat me half to death.
Something that just really pierced my heart, remark you make in the book, Mr. Reed, is that Tom Dreesen wasn't just your first white friend. He was really your only close friend.
You know, I came from an all-segregated community, all segregated education from elementary school all the way up to college. I didn't have any social contact with white America. And it's hard to explain to people the context of race then and now. There was no dialogue. We were the dialogue at that time for race relations.
When Tim and I went on stage in those days, we were the discourse they either wished they had or should have been having. And we didn't always talk about race. We had routines about if we were just talking about hamburgers, but we were a black guy and a white guy talking about hamburgers, and we were on stage having a lot of fun together.
You always get to play the black guy.
You want to run that by me again?
Just once, I'd like to play the black guy.
I totally have the rib sauce, man.
I really think I could be a black guy. I mean, I've been traveling with you for a long time. I gotta tell you the truth, I like the way the brothers walk.
Yeah?
I mean, I like the way the brothers talk.
Yeah?
I like the way they dress, the smooth style they have. You know, the way they're always referring to their mom. You know, mother this and...
I forgot those routines,
yes,
you know
yeah.
that?
I've heard that in a long while. When we were on and when it worked, it was not only incredible fun, but the people really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I guess it was a freedom to be able to laugh at race at that time and not feel not only threatened, but not feel embarrassed by it.
Why, after a few years, couldn't you work together anymore?
From my point of view, it was primarily financial. I mean, we were not making any money. We were struggling, and I just did not have the faith that Tom had that something was going to change. And I just said, you know, I'm starving. I got a family. I've quit my job. I've got to survive. I come from poverty, and I'm allergic to poverty. So I decided that it would be best for me and my family if I went on my own.
And I never wanted the act to break up, to be honest with you. I thought Tim and Tom were going to become the most significant comedy team the nation had ever known. And that was my dream, my hope. I had never been on stage before in my life until I met Tim Reed. So everything I envisioned for our future success was with Tim and I. So when the team broke up, like Tim, I had a wife and three kids. He had a wife and two kids. I mean, I was on my rear end, and it broke my heart.
And the irony of it is Tom not only made it first, but he went from living in a car to working with Sammy Davis in about 2 hours. I mean, it was just amazing.
Well, and got on the Tonight Show.
And got on Tonight Show, and I watched him that night. I was in bed and hadn't worked in a long time, broke. Things were not looking very good for me. And I'm watching him, and he, as they say in our business, killed. And I sat there, and I had the strangest emotions I've ever had in the same instance. I was very happy for him, and I was extremely sad for myself. It was a feeling I hope to never have again.
And Mr. Reed, of course, as we mentioned, there's probably not an hour of the day that doesn't go by that you're not Venus Flytrap and
right.
One rerun or another of WKRP. Mm-hmm. And you've produced and directed a lot. You were responsible for a show that is really spoken of with such reverence in television history, Frank's Place.
Yeah.
About a man who owned a nightclub or a bar in New Orleans.
Have you ever owned a restaurant?
What, do you think I'm nuts? I'm a consultant, Frank. You could take my advice or leave it. You pay me to consult, I'm consulting.
Okay.
First thing you gotta do, get some night business in here fast.
How am I going to do that?
All right.
My regulars are working people. They don't come out very much during the week. And the white folks don't come down here during the night.
You can fix that.
I can't.
Advertising flyers in all the hotels produces new customers. Cab drivers. $5 for every carload they deliver. Valet parking. Whitey walks from his car to your door. Safe enough.
I was almost shocked to read in the book, for all the reputation that show has, it just ran a season.
Yeah, it did only run a season. One of the major regrets I have is that that show did not go for at least 3 to 4 years. I think had it gone for 3 or 4 years, we probably would have had a lot to do with changing the attitudes within the business about race and how it's portrayed in television.
Looking back on it, what do you think you learned from each other?
Oh, the trusting in someone else. I mean, no one really makes it alone. I certainly would not be in this business were it not for Tom and vice versa. And in the end, what's missing today, not only in show business, but I think in politics and everything, is passion. Most people really don't like what they're doing. We really had passion for what we were about.
Yeah, that's what I think I learned from Tim, what I learned also in the service, too, that when two people go through hardships, they bond. Tim watched my back many nights in a lot of ways, and I watched his back. It never had anything to do about race with us, never. We were just two buddies. And boy, I'll tell you, when the crisis hits, if you got a pal there with you, it sure helps.
Gentlemen, great pleasure. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott.
Tim Reed, Tom Dreesen, their new book with our friend Ron Rappaport, Tim and Tom, An American Comedy in Black and White.